The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples approached him and asked, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, and there they will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel needs a lot of homiletic conversation, much more time than we have here this morning. But let me offer some comments on it. In Jerusalem, even today, there is the Valley of Hinnom. It's on the edge of Jerusalem, southwest edge of Jerusalem. Otherwise, in English, it's called Gehenna. Way back 1,000 years before Christ, the time of Solomon, in the Valley of Hinnom, which we call Gehenna, they had child sacrifices. And that went on until the 7th century before Christ. Children were sacrificed to the god Moloch, false god. And therefore, it was considered a cursed place. And therefore, it became a place of refuge. Even today, in Jerusalem, if you go there, pilgrims don't go there because there's a stench, and the fires of the refuge are burning and the smoke is rising. It's an abominable place, and was taken to be an image of the ultimate destiny for those who are wicked, for the damned. It's just an image. And all you're looking at in these Gospels today, dealing with the ultimate destiny of persons, it's all imagery. I know some of you have been to the Sistine Chapel, and you'll see at the reredos of the Sistine Chapel, which he did in the 16th century, so it's high Middle Ages, you'll see the Final Judgment, chapter 25 in the Gospel of Matthew, the separation of the sheep and the goats and the light, darkness, and it's an extraordinary teaching about the ultimate destiny of persons, good and evil. But it's all imagery. It's not meant to be taken literally. I grew up with this: hell is full of fire, and there's a devil down there with horns, and he's got a pitchfork, and it's just terrible. And then purgatory, of course, is also fire, just as bad, but you'll get out eventually. These are all imagery. We're not meant to take these literally. What you're looking at in this gospel and in chapter 25 in Matthew is very common in Matthew's gospel, in the Jewish gospel. It's called a branch of theology called eschatology. Eschatos in Greek means the last, the study of the last things, death, life after death, the ultimate disposition of all, the last things, eschatology. Now, in simple form, it's somewhat complex, but in simple form, you have future eschatology and you have realized eschatology. Future eschatology says, and lots of us grew up with this, why do I want to live a good life? Because in the future, I want to go to heaven. If I live a bad life, I'm going to go to hell when I die. Not now, but when I die. And therefore, why should I try to live a good life now? Because I'm doing it as a departed against when I die. Then all my good deeds will be rewarded. That's called future eschatology. In simple form, realized eschatology is, why am I going to live a good life? Because I want to live a life now that is not hellish. If I'm an evildoer and I'm selfish and I destroy people, I am creating my own hell. Not when I die, right now. My life is chaotic. My life is full of conflict. I'm resentful, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm selfish, I'm miserable. The image of Gehenna. I'm living in a place equivalent to refuse, to a dump. And even though I might garner in some of the world's blessing, make more money, or I might be popular, I am self-destructing within myself. So when I look at eschatology, meaning the ultimate destiny, I am living a good life now because I want to experience heaven on earth in all its imperfection. It's all imperfection. It's all imagery. But still, the only way in which I will have a life which is satisfying and meaningful and fulfilling is to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, to forgive. If you don't forgive, you've already got one foot in Gehenna. You're miserable. If you carry around resentments with you, somehow it's a heaviness. It weighs you down. It makes your day miserable. Are you going to have a good day? Well, that depends. It doesn't depend on anybody else. It depends on you. If you're selfish and you're angry and you're bitter, you're going to have a bad day. It's like an experience of hell on earth. If you want to follow Jesus Christ and live in freedom, you don't sacrifice by way of just giving up something. It's not meant to be a discipline. Sacrifice is a manner in which I set myself free. I'm free. I want to live freely. I want to live in the glory of God. I don't want to live in misery. I don't want to live hell or purgatory here on earth. That's what we call realized eschatology. It deals with now. Now, I'm sure many of us grew up with the understanding that we should be good now because, you know, when you die, the payoff comes when you die. Realized eschatology, no, the payoff comes now. The payoff is now. You know, why would you want to forgive somebody? Not because they need it, but I need it. Why would you want to be generous? Not because they have a need, but I have a need to be generous. Why would I want to bless somebody? It's not so much they need the blessing, I need to give the blessing. Why would I want to be kind to somebody? It's not because they deserve it, it's because I need to do that in order to live a meaningful life. That's the meaning of this eschatology, which comes up in this reading. So the image of when you die, all that chaos and so forth, is not really the teaching of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember that? Fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed meaning makarios in Greek, meaning peaceful. Peaceful. I'm peaceful. Why am I peaceful? Why is my life meaningful? Because I have no enemies. there's nobody I won't talk to, because I will look this day to bless people, to share, to make a better day for people. I am living the kingdom of God now. Not later, I'm living it now. So keep that in mind. The word of God here says, how do I live out the glory of God today? Amen. Pause now for a moment of prayer. We're going to have a good day in the kingdom of God.